Hello and welcome to this week's 12 Years, where we will be focusing on the topic of reduce, reuse, recycle. Something which many of us students like to think we do well, but actually, in fact, many of us are not doing properly. To start off with, let's hear from some of the students as to whether they recycle or not, and let's hear their opinions on recycling.
Do you recycle?
Yeah, I do recycle, and I make sure my whole house recycles. I tell them constantly what to do and where to put stuff.
Yes, always. If it can be recycled, I'll always try to recycle it. So things like plastic, even if it's not the entire thing that's plastic, take the plastic off and recycle that.
Do you wash your recycling?
Yes, before it goes in the recycling containers. And I don't crush aluminium cans, because then they don't always get recycled.
Do you recycle?
Yes.
Do you wash all your recycling?
Yes.
Do you recycle?
I do.
Everything?
Yeah, when you say everything. Yeah, paper, glass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
Do you recycle everything?
I recycle things that are recyclable.
Yeah, I do. I make an effort to recycle, even at university.
Do you recycle?
I try. Well, Lenton isn't the best for recycling. Not all of the houses have recycling bins, particularly ours, so it's a personal effort. We have to make sure that we take all of our bottles down to the local depot every week, but obviously it ends up building up. If you don't have a car, it's quite hard to recycle in Lenton.
Do you recycle on campus?
Yes. The bins are quite well labelled.
Do you recycle?
I try to, but our house that we live in this year actually doesn't accept recycling, so...
Have you thought about taking it to your local recycling centre?
I've thought about it. I decided not to do it, and that's the end of that story.
Do you recycle on campus?
If I need to, I don't really have much waste with me because I use my own stuff, if that makes sense. Unless it's like food. But like plastic-wise, I don't really use any plastic, like single-waste plastic.
Do you recycle?
No.
Why don't you recycle?
I don't recycle because the property that I live at doesn't have a recycling facility.
But couldn't you create your own?
And put it where?
In the local recycling plant.
I'm not aware of where the local recycling plant is, and as someone who doesn't own a car as well, which is probably quite good for the environment, I wouldn't know where to take it. I'm not bad, I'm just ignorant.
Do you recycle on campus?
Yes, in the bins
do
available,
you think
yes
recycling
I do.
Is still an effective means of getting rid of our waste?
I think that in many cases it's positive. It's important that we maintain it as part of how we deal with waste, but often people end up using it as too much of a crutch, and they think that by recycling they are doing a good thing, and that means that they continue with their consumerist lifestyle and still contributing to things like fast fashion or just wasteful packaging, because they think it's fine because they'll recycle it straight away afterwards. The real focus needs to be on reuse, and as long as you're reusing, then you're taking away that need to still be continually producing new products, which is where the main emissions come from.
So what do you think of the idea? Do you think this is going to work? I read about it about a year ago. This company called Loop, they had the idea that, so we have Tesco delivery now. They would create everything, so ice cream, milk, whatever, would come in like metal containers, and then they'd arrive, and then you wouldn't even have to wash them. When you finish that, you chuck it in a tote bag. When they deliver your next delivery, they pick that up and take it away from you. Do you think that that is a positive idea, or do you think realistically that's not going to work in our society?
I think that's a positive idea, and I think it is definitely something that you could apply to society in general. It's just how you then go about it, because obviously you've then got thousands of different companies that will all try and do the same thing. Is it that one company that has to then supply the entire world with this particular system? You then have to convince everyone else to go along with it. Logistically, we're in a very difficult bind, and I think the main focus needs to be on changing the big companies' attitudes at the root of the problem. So things like Tesco's removing plastic packaging, great, but they need to be taking further steps to making sure that the companies that they buy from or that supply them, so people like Unilever, need to be forced to be doing the same thing. They need to be reducing their packaging, they need to be changing how they package, and they need to be looking into reuse rather than just disposables.
So countries came out and said, I don't necessarily think this is going to happen, but they said that recycling wasn't necessarily cost effective anymore, and they were going to kind of reconsider even doing it. Do you think recycling as it is now is still an effective means to that extent?
Recycling may not be cost effective, But that's not the point. If you take away recycling, then you go back to landfill waste. And then you have all of the problems that come with that. Obviously, we still have that, but we have reduced it thanks to recycling. It is a back step to then say, okay, well, we're not going to recycle because it's cost effective. Let's go back to contributing to landfill. And then you come into exactly the same problem where you're just, you know, the problems we have, what we're still facing, where you're just increasing the number of landfill sites. You need somewhere to put this waste. And eventually you run out of space. People will say, like, oh, just like fire into space or something, but that has its own problems. You can't do that. That's been proven to not work. You can bury it in the sea, and then you get things like Trash Island. I don't know if it's a myth or not, but yeah, eventually it is a case of space, and then you can run into the toxicity problems as well. It's like, it's not feasible that, like, we need to keep the recycling, even if it's not cost effective. Like, it's something that needs to be subsidized purely because otherwise the waste will build up. And there's nothing that we can really do about that otherwise. I mean, even with recycling, it's still a problem. So I think to contribute to that cause further is just terrible, terrible idea.
Now for a more official response, we spoke to Lee Taylor, our SU Environmental Officer, about what initiatives are currently in place on campus to help us students recycle and to help us students recycle in general.
What things are on campus to help students recycle?
On campus, I mean, we have obviously recycling bins in all of the halls now. I know a few years ago there actually weren't recycling bins in a lot of the halls, so they didn't have the main recycling facilities. That's now, as far as I'm aware, sorted. It's still not ideal. It's still not perfect, and it's still a work in progress, but because there's just so many rooms, so many halls, so much of everything, it's always going to be a bit of a work in progress.
What about the crisp packets around Portland?
So my predecessor, Bonnie, started a scheme where you can collect crisp packets. So crisp packets aren't actually recyclable in a normal recycling stream. Basically, the construction of a crisp packet is really weird. It's like a bit of plastic, a bit of metal, a bit of like a foil, an oily based thing. It's really stupid and convoluted. And if you put them in your normal recycling bin, they'll just end up in a landfill anyway because they'll get separated out at the recycling facility. So Bonnie found this company called TerraCycle that actually strips them down and does all the hard work and recycles the individual materials. And he started this as a scheme. So you can bring your crisp packets to Portland. We've got a couple of, they're like little cardboardy bins, one on C floor, one on B floor. And you can put your crisp packets in there. And then we'll bag them up and we'll send them off to TerraCycle. And then so TerraCycle actually give us a small kickback for sending them off. And what happens with that is that we donate that to charity. So we donate a small amount for every crisp packet back. To the Children's Brain Tumor Research Centre, which is on campus. It's the one that's on all the sports kit. So it sort of helps actually give back by recycling, which is a really, really nice little loop. And there are actually discussions to try and expand that and get that out even further. So we've been talking with the sustainability team about getting some proper bins for it and bringing it into more buildings across campus. But that's still like fairly early-ish phases, I guess.
So you've been walking around Lenton trying to help people with their recycling.
Yeah, so off campus, at the moment, the uni are running a scheme, a campaign again. They ran it last year as well, but they're running it again this year. Please, no more bags. Something that Jamie Dickinson and Debbie Keown over at the off-campus team, they've been running this. They've actually got paid people. So they've recruited some paid ambassadors, and they're going around. Myself and Jacob Collier, community officer, and Sally Longford, who is the local councillor and also like deputy chair of the council, we've been wandering around today with that team, knocking on people's doors and having a chat to them, asking them if they've been having any issues with their recycling, telling them about what can and can't actually go in the recycling things, noting down any issues. If people, for example, haven't got the right bin, they haven't got the right facilities, we've been making records of that, and then we're going to pass that on and try and get that sorted for them. So it's just going out into the community to the students living off campus and getting them engaged with it as well. That's only one aspect of a wider focus on Lenton and Beeston and Dunkirk that the uni and us at the union were trying to really engage students off campus in recycling, because it's, I've seen the statistics, like the amount of contaminated waste in those is just mind-boggling. I mean, a lot of students don't actually realize some of the things that you can't necessarily put in your bag, so in your bin. So you can't put bagged recycling waste in a recycling bin. If you put something in a black bag in the bin, what's going to happen is that's going to go to landfill, because they won't open it at the recycling center. It's a safety hazard. You don't know if there's like some broken glass in there or dirty needle or anything like that. So they just won't open it. You can't put pizza boxes in there. That's something that really, really gets a lot of people who are like, oh, you can't recycle a pizza box. It says recyclable. Like, yeah, the materials are recyclable, but it's got grease on it. It's got food waste on it. Even if you try and scrub it off, it's still going to be seeped into it. So they just won't recycle it. Obviously, you can't put you can't put foils in there, like little thin plastic, metal foils, anything like that. They can't actually be recycled easily because they'll get stuck in the recycling machines and they'll just clog it all up. So they'll be pulled out as well. So really, it's the thing is, like, once you know what can and can't, it's not even that hard to put it in the right thing. It's just knowing what's there.
If you put something in the wrong bin, so say you put something in recycling, or if you put something in recycling that you haven't washed, so, you know, for example, a jar of tomato sauce or something like that, will that be separated when you get there, or is the entire bin just therefore sent to landfill?
Depends on how severe it is. Depends on if it's noticed by the binmen. As a general rule, it's likely to be thrown. The entire bin. It's likely to just be chucked. Because you don't know how deep that contamination goes. So as soon as it's contaminated, it's just at risk instantly. So they will just, as a general rule, be like, nope, this isn't safe. And as we've wandered around Lenton too, we've seen a lot of stickers on bins and on all the different signs and stuff saying, this bin has the wrong thing in it. We can't take this. And we're like, wow, actually a lot of people are contaminating the waste. It's purely accidental, and a lot of it, it's nearly fine. It's coming from a good place, but because of those just small slip-ups, it's quite sad, really. But, I mean, that's the point of us doing these campaigns, and that's the point of going out and engaging with students and talking about it, is actually to get students and get people in the community just switched over to the right track with it.
So obviously, if people had genuine questions or needed some real help, they can come and find you in the SU. But what bit of advice would you say that, for an overall, for most students to be able to help themselves recycle better?
The best thing that you can do, this comes down to anything at all, always just be mindful of what you're doing. If you're actively thinking about what you're doing, then you're going to be checking on the top of the bin. Because every single bin has like the sign on it that says what you can and can't do anyway. They're engraved into the bins. If you're just mindful with all of the actions that you take anyway, then by following that logical process, by thinking through things, you're going to be making those better decisions anyway.
A few people we spoke to in Lenton don't have a recycling bin. What would you say, you know, briefly to those people? What's the best way or easiest way to sort that?
So if you don't have a recycling bin and you're living in a house of multiple occupancy, you can actually request for the council to send you one. Mm-hmm. So your landlord can pay for it. You can get onto your landlord and they can pay for it, and it's around £15. If your landlord won't pay for it for whatever reason, you can all chip together. It's £15 and the council will drop you one off, and it's just a little online form that you request. If for whatever reason that's a bit of an issue, you can always contact myself or Jacob Collier, the community officer, and we'll try and sort it as well.
Perfect, thank you. And lastly, one of the things we've been debating is recycling still an efficient and useful way of trying to live a more sustainable life? Because we have seen countries now saying that it's not cost effective for them and they might just stop it entirely.
It's hugely effective. The amount of waste that we produce in the UK, especially, being able to recycle efficiently and correctly is still one of the most effective ways that we as individuals can take action. In practice, it often comes down to how well segregated the recycling scheme is. So in Nottingham, we currently have a single stream recycling. So everything just goes in the brown bin with a grey lid. Or if it's landfill, it just goes in your green bin. That's not that efficient, unfortunately. Single stream recycling often ends up with contamination, as we've seen. Ends up with glass going in there, which if you mix glass and paper, it has the chance of making the paper worse. So the paper gets worse. It's still good, and we still see around 95% recycle rates, which is really, really, really good. There's still a long way that the council can go, that the uni themselves can go with our recycling here, to improve it. But as individuals, yeah, recycling is, I mean, it's not even something that you need to be like, yes, I'm doing good because I'm recycling. It's more a case of I'm doing good. Recycling is a part of that. Recycling is just a part of a way to live a more sustainable lifestyle, but it's still a very crucial element. It's like a cornerstone of the building of sustainability.
So I have at home separated plastic and cardboard and glass. Mm. With regards to things like juice cartons, I then can't recycle them because that's not plastic or cardboard, that's both, and therefore they won't take them.
Yeah, Tetra Pak cartons are really, really tricky. They can actually be recycled and separated, but they have to be done by a specialist like TerraCycle, just like the crisp packets. So cartons actually fall into the same category as crisp packets in that way, in that they're a blend of materials. They need adequate handling, and a lot of local authorities, a lot of waste providers simply just won't touch it. So often those will end up going into landfill. As a longer term thing, I know companies like TerraCycle, for example, do have their schemes to recycle Tetra Pak, schemes to recycle the crisp packets, and we are looking at ways to incorporate that within the university as well, particularly within the Portland building, but we're still not 100% sure on implementation of that. It's hard to implement it on a large scale.
We also talked to Robin from Enva.
What do you do? So my name's Robin, I'm the Key Account Coordinator for the University of Nottingham's waste contract. So I work for a company called Enva, and we deal with all the waste and all the bins and skips and everything like that on site. We also work with three of the universities in the East Midlands as part of a consortium. So we work with the University of Nottingham, Nottingham Trent University, Loughborough University and the University of Leicester. So what initiatives are on place on campus that you're involved with? So we sit on a working group for the Waste Not campaign, which you've seen loads of posters for, I'm sure, around site, which is working to reduce the kind of number of single-use items and kind of avoidable waste items on campus, so things like plastic bottles, coffee cups, disposable coffee cups, things like that. And so we work on that project with the sustainability team, and we're also working on some projects in particular buildings that are kind of badly performing in terms of their recycling, so where people are putting things in the wrong bins and trying to improve the quality of the recycling in particular buildings around campus as well. So obviously a lot of recycling bins have been there for quite a while now around campus. I've been talking to some students about whether they actually recycle or not, and I've had a lot of people say no in Lenton because it's much more difficult, but yes on campus because it's literally there. But then I've also noticed in amongst the studio, without naming or shaming people, that people haven't, for some reason, noticed there's a recycling bin literally in the corridor and have just been picking stuff anyway. Yeah. Are there any things? So we've obviously got these televisions out in the corridor. Is there anything like that that you guys circulate to try and encourage people to actually look for the bins? Yeah, so we work with the sustainability team who've made kind of some new bin signage to try and make it a little bit more simple. And we work with Lee, who's kind of environment and ethics officer, kind of the best ways to work to kind of improve that. Because the university is such big places and you've got to contact so many different members of students and staff. It's difficult to reach everybody. We do kind of work with people to kind of get the best information out there and try and look at the best ways to circulate it, because it varies between different places. University of Nottingham have got some new bin signage, which they're kind of putting up, which should make it a little bit easier. In terms of directing people to bins, it's a little bit difficult. So
much up to them.
Yeah.
Do you have any control or anything to do with what's happening in Lenton? I know there's been a movement at the moment, quite a lot of campaigns.
So not particularly. We kind of support on anything that university students are involved in, and we're kind of happy to offer advice and kind of talk with people about it, but we don't actually collect the waste from household kind of places in London. So it's not directly to do with us, but we kind of offer advice, so more specifically.
And, I mean, kind of lastly, what advice would you give to students? Because I know a lot of students feel like they're recycling when in fact they're actually not, and a lot of it's contaminated. What things would people probably not know that they need to be doing that they should be?
Yeah, so the key issues we see are usually kind of like meal deal items. So kind of things like crisp packets, which although there is a specific bin in Portland that you can put them in kind of your regular bins, they are a general waste item because they're plastic and metal kind of combined together, which means that you can't separate them to recycle it. And that's the same with most coffee cups, sandwich packaging. And unfortunately, all of these items that might look like paper are actually a composite material. They have plastic lining in the middle, which means that they're not easily recyclable and that they are general waste items. So we get a lot of those in the recycling bins, which is a contaminant for us. And then obviously with those kinds of items, you usually get coffee dregs or crusts of sandwiches in there, which when they go into a recycling bin, can actually kind of contaminate all the paper that's in there. They can make it wet and kind of all gross. And it means that actually can't be recycled. So putting these items in the wrong bin with liquids and food in them is actually meaning that all this kind of good work of what's already in the recycling bin might actually have to go into general waste, which obviously isn't what we want. So we're kind of, our main thing is trying to get people to put things in the right bins to begin with, and then to reduce contamination, which is mainly in the form of food and liquid waste, which is our key issue.
So I was having a fight last year in my house over things like, obviously if it's got food waste, you can't bin it or you can't recycle it. But if there's something that you're unsure if it's recyclable, so you put it in a recycling bin and they take it away and it's all clean and it's all fine, will that mean they throw out the entirety of the bin?
No. So once the bins are collected from site, they will be taken to our kind of waste sorting facility in Nottingham. And then there's a lot of machinery in place there, a lot of different machines that will pick out kind of different items, there's hand picking lines, all sorts of different things going on to try and pick out all different types of waste. So we will sort through it, try to pick out what we like, so all the plastic bottles, all the right kinds of plastic if you're worried about it, and then things that shouldn't be there will get picked out and taken to the general waste side of our business. So we will sort things out. It's not the end of the world if one thing goes in there, it's the wrong, it shouldn't be in a recycling bin. We will try to sort that as best as possible. It makes it easier for us, we can spend less energy and less money doing that if it's in the right bin to begin with. But I would say always just ask the question. The sustainability team here are really great. There's a lot of social media channels where you can ask the question and people are more than happy to kind of advise on if there's something you're struggling with that you deal with on a regular basis that you want to know the answer to, just ask the question.
Okay, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like students to know about how to recycle or reuse?
I would say the best thing to do is we work with the waste hierarchy quite a lot. We try to kind of talk to people about that. So we... the best thing you can do is prevent waste from happening in the first place. So kind of making your lunch at home, don't buy kind of packaged sandwiches, things like that. The next best thing you can do is have reusable items. So kind of like the lunchbox, but your reusable coffee cups, your reusable water bottles. There's a lot of kind of water refill points on campus. You can actually get your coffee a lot cheaper now if you bring a reusable coffee cup, and we're trying to encourage that behaviour so you're not making this waste in the first place. If the university can buy less coffee cups and less water bottles, that's the best thing they can do for like the environment and sustainability, rather than putting them in the right bin, which is great and the kind of end point. If you could not buy it in the first place, that's a better thing.
We're now going to have our first song, which is related to today's theme. This is called Reduce, Reuse, Recycle, and is by Number Rock. Yeah, come together, y'all.
There are many ways we can take care of our earth. Together we can finally show her how much she is worth. But there is only one place that all of us call home. It is this pale blue God of ours that we freely roam. We can take our cans and sort them into a different bin and buy things with less packaging. To score another win, simple things like less paper waste,
less
stops pollution's haste, allow an altered view, Mother Nature's perfect taste.
Wash out jars, cans, and other recyclables so they're clean.
Yeah.
That's a step as vital as using less polystyrene.
Yeah.
Reusable bags and food containers make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It takes just a little thought to make a really big difference.
Oh, yeah. Let's come together. catch a bus if it's too far away. Sharing a car can limit emissions too, it's true. Sometimes biking might be the best thing that you can do. There are always lots of chores that people need to get done. All that running around in cars is never really fun. Parents were combined and finished all in one trip. It would save some gas and carbon emissions would dip.
Every effort we take to reduce the footprint we make matters more than you think, because the whole world is at stake. Tiny snowflakes join into an avalanche with power. Saving energy counts every single kilowatt hour.
Let's come together. Precious commodities. With little changes we can make a big difference, you see. A running faucet isn't trying to run away. It's wasting water and running up your bill each day. You can also pay more attention to the foods we eat, cause some use lots of water to create that tasty treat. It takes hundreds of gallons for just 1 pound of beef. Smarter eating gives our world some much needed relief.
That doesn't mean we can never use water to have fun. It just means to be careful, not to let the faucet run. Sure, making changes to routines can sometimes seem tough, but life in a polluted world, that'll be pretty rough.
It will. A good way that you can serve more energy. LEDs are just as bright and last many hours long. Moving tons of emissions that really don't belong. Turning lights off to save money won't make anyone rich, but it's so very easy to flip off an unused switch. It will help reduce the amount of energy used, ensuring our planet's resources are not abused.
We can change the business where we access our power source. Renewables reduce fossil fuels without losing energy force. Solar, wind, and hydro are some options. That's just three. What other changes might make a better world for you and me?
That way good indoor breathing can always be in style.
Programmable thermostat, set the temp when you're gone.
Allowing Earth's fuels to continue pressing on. Our landfills are the places for taking our solid waste. Where trash bag after trash bag pile up high seems to be placed. Composting is a way to reduce what's thrown away, giving us more land and space to go outside and play.
Let's play! A little thought and time each day is really all it takes. Because there never really have been any higher stakes. Let's show our Earth just how much we all think she's worth. So that all living creatures can experience rebirth.
Just up.
Visit numberrock.com for exclusive content, lesson materials, and more. Thanks for watching.
Now, looking more towards reusing, a big problem that has been highly publicised is the issue of fast fashion. With influencers promoting brands to us 24/7, clothes are being bought for cheap, worn for a few months, and then binned. Liv, Rue, Elliot and myself had a discussion about fast fashion, our own approaches to it, and how charity shops might be the way forward.
Do you know what fast fashion is?
Not particularly, no.
Do you know what fast fashion is?
I do know what fast fashion is, yes.
So, for you, fast fashion is a contemporary term used by fashion retailers for designs that move from catwalk quickly. Basically, fast fashion is brands like Boohoo and ASOS, where they give out cheap clothing, cheaply made, fast fashion, people change it all the time, and it very quickly ends up in the bin, pretty much is the term for this. Do you guys buy into fast fashion?
Well, I mean, the sort of clothes that you're mentioning as fast fashion is my regular fashion. Like, I'll buy them for, like, £5 at Primark and I'll wear it for, like half a year. So...
What do you do with the clothes when you finish wearing them?
Well, they're still in my wardrobe, I just don't wear them. That's pretty much it. I don't know. I always find it's a bit of a waste to throw clothes away, personally. I've always been, like, I have a habit of hoarding them because I feel bad throwing clothes away. Except for when you're getting, like, white clothes and you've been wearing them for, like, two years and you've got, like, stains on them and you're like, nah. But, yeah, I don't really throw them away.
What about you guys?
My mum's always kind of ingrained it into me from a young age that she says it's better to pay more money for something that you really, really love, that you're going to wear loads for years, than it is to buy stuff for a cheap price. So I do that, but also I think as I've gotten older and fashion has seemed to be a bigger thing in everyone's lives and it seems to be more pressure to look fashionable, I have started to buy things from Primark to kind of complement outfits or like clothes that I already have. So whether that's an accessory or something that's particularly on trend, to then go with some of the items that I've had for years and will have for years. So I think I tend to use a mixture of both.
But then surely you'll keep those items that are on trend to go with the items that you're going to keep forever for longer than if you were just buying them for a one-off.
I assume so. I don't know. I think like the basis of my like clothing range that I have at home tends to be stuff that I've bought because it's good quality that I'm going to have for a long time. But then I'll add to it with bits that I've bought from Primark or other places like that.
I do end up buying like bits from ASOS or Primark, and so that does tend to take up sort of a large amount of my wardrobe. But, and I think like it's been said before that it's very quick to wear out. So you'll sort of, if you buy a white t-shirt or something, then, you know, it's a staple bit of clothing that you'll have in your wardrobe, but you'll go through like six of them in a very short space of time because they get tatty and they get thrown about. And that's part of what you're saying is this stuff isn't made to a high standard because it's made to throw out really cheaply. So it's almost like, you know, like tech products are sort of designed to break after a certain amount of time.
I think it's interesting that you used ASOS as an example, though, because I do think sometimes you can get some really good quality clothing from ASOS that isn't really, really cheap. Boohoo, I do think, is very much fast fashion.
Boohoo's interesting because I've in the past bought a lot of stuff from Boohoo, and some of it I keep actually for quite a while and it's really good quality, and some of it I just send that straight away, or I just look at it and think this is awful. I think Boohoo for some reason has a real range of, you could keep it for a few years to you would just get rid of this at the end of like a month.
But no, I do agree with that. I think one problem I have with online shopping is that you actually don't know what the quality is like until it arrives.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Do you guys think? Do you shop online?
I think that online clothes shopping and that using ASOS and Boohoo, personally, I think I tend to see it as more of a girl's thing. I think my girlfriend does it quite a lot, and I always like to go into store myself and pick up clothes myself and look at them and do all the shopping in store. That's just the way that I've personally seen it. I don't know many guys that do online shopping as opposed to nipping to town, going, oh, I need a white shirt, I'll just nip and get a white shirt. I don't really plan our outfits. We kind of just nip in and see what's going on. Maybe some limited edition stuff going on online because they tend to always be. But other than that, no, mainly it's just if I'm going to make the trip into town, I'm going to get a nice piece of clothing because I tend to be quite budget smart. So I don't just go and splash cash on whatever I can. I make sure I pre-plan one. If I know I'm going to buy some clothes, I know exactly what clothes I'm going to buy and I go into town to get it. That's just my way of looking at it. I like to sample, I like to wear the clothes personally, go in the changing rooms and see what they're like to before I buy them, right, to see, because sometimes I'll be like, oh, this will look great. I'll wear it and it looks awful on me. So that's just my personal.
Yeah, I know with these online shops, obviously the emphasis that they have is always on quantity, so buy as much as you can. So you've got systems with websites like ASOS where you can buy it and send it back if you don't want it. But what that means is you've bought more of that stuff, and then the hurdle is sending it back. So really, you're going to end up keeping a lot more clothes than you would have bought originally. So it's using every sort of tool they have at their disposal to make sure that you're buying as much as possible, even if it's stuff that you don't necessarily need.
Another thing to consider, though, is buying clothes at vintage stores or charity shops, which I think is becoming more fashionable now. I know at university, more universities across the country are having like vintage thrift sales on in their SUs and stuff. We had one a couple of weeks ago, and I think that's getting more fashionable. And I do think that's a good way of combating fast fashion, because you're reusing clothes.
I was literally about to ask, we'll go to selling in a minute, but what do you guys think about buying from charity shops or secondhand stores? What do you think, there's still a stigma around secondhand, or do you think it's a good thing? It's a very good way of combating fast fashion.
No, I think secondhand, for me personally at least, I think that secondhand has always been the way to go, and I've always grown up thinking, like, charity shops, like, you're always going to be able to find sort of amazing things there. And in this sort of like vintage revival, it's become sort of a staple for many people's fashions that they would rather go to a charity shop than find this stuff online, because you're going to get the more authentic, sort of quote in quotations there, pieces of clothing. Whereas, obviously, part of the trend of fast fashion and sort of big fashion industry in general is to make sure that you're trying to convince the public that they need this thing that is new that you can't get in a charity shop or something else. So it's trying to sort of change that ideology almost and move towards vintage clothing.
The one risk with charity shops is that if you need something, as you say, you know what you want to buy, you can risk it and hope to find it in a charity shop, but it's not necessarily definitely going to be there. Whereas online, it's going to be there in mass production.
I think there's applications now like Depop, which has got such a huge community that if you've got something specifically in mind that you want, you can generally search for it and find something similar. It might not be completely right, but you can at least have a look, and there's a chance that you could find it there.
Again, it's kind of different for me. I don't tend to do a lot of shopping in charity shops and doing secondhand stuff, mainly because of the fact, again, my sort of style is like I go in knowing exactly what I want to do, and I go and look around a select number of shops and see if they have it. If they don't have it, then I won't get it. I tend to look to see if there's anything particular. I don't typically have the time to go around looking at like 7 or 8 different charity shops on top of the ordinary retail brands to look for these things, which, to be honest, a lot of them won't have the sort of stuff I like. I mean, I like long sleeve like shirts, like not like full shirts, like how to describe it, like a t-shirt, like, you know, like a long sleeve t-shirt. And quite trendy ones of those, and they don't. I've not seen many in charity shops that really strike my interest. So after a while, you kind of just give up on them. I haven't been in one for ages. I don't know. I don't have a problem with secondhand clothes. It's just, again, with the way I do shopping, which is more in person compared to online, it's difficult to run around all these different charity shops on top of all the other brands. It could take a full day, and it's not sort of the time I have.
Another problem that a lot of people now have with vintage shopping and charity shops is that some vintage clothes can be really expensive, and way more expensive than they actually should be. So some vintage shops are putting prices up just because vintage shopping has become fashionable again.
That is a thing you definitely need to have. It's almost like an activity, in the sense of you need to have the time to go around and poke into all the little shops, because you don't know what you're going to find there. And you also need time, because it's all jumbled up a lot of the time, to actually sort through and find that one thing that you want.
You definitely have to be in the right kind of mood to go charity or vintage shopping, because it is a lot of searching through a lot of stuff.
I think the only real positive I see of fast fashion as an industry is purely the accessible nature of it. If you're making things en masse, then obviously you can make it very cheap and they're able to sell a lot of it, which means that everyone is able to sort of, you know, shop at this same level. You know, they can all partake in whatever trend is going on. But that in itself sort of then just leads on to the more environmental problem of, okay, we're just being wasteful as people, taking in, and the second you don't need it, you're throwing it away again. Which is why I think it's fantastic that we are sort of moving towards that sort of vintage idea. But as you say, that's becoming more expensive. So it's becoming harder to shop in charity shops, because they're realizing the sort of value in these secondhand clothes that they have. Where I think the way, the way where, you know, people who are donating to charity shops, obviously, that's, I think that tends to be where you put most of your clothes when you're done with them. So when you're done with your fast fashion, you chuck it into a charity shop. But large, the amount that is thrown away compared to the amount that is sold in charity shops is going to be so much greater because they can't take in everything. They're not going to take in everything because a lot of it is tatty as well. And then it just becomes that it becomes this whole cycle of everything just getting thrown away or going to landfill.
So around the table, do you guys donate your clothes when you as and when you get rid of them? Do you sell your clothes? Do you bin your clothes?
I become a bit of a hoarder and usually just end up having big bags of clothes that I eventually need to sort out. They'll go to the charity shop eventually though.
Yeah, I kind of do the same thing. I kind of hoard them a bit, but usually for me, it's the stuff that I have either it gets worn down to the point where you wouldn't want to put it in a charity shop because it's got holes in it and you know, they wouldn't accept it. I just get the wear out of it. Or again, it's stuff that just ends up being hoarded in like drawers and bags and stuff that I don't need. And I, to be honest, it's kind of, yeah, at that point, it tends to either go to charity shops or get handed down to different family members or whatever's going on. So yeah, that's mainly my way to doing it as well.
I tend to take stuff to charity shops or again, in my family, we have a big thing of passing clothes down. I'm also going to start hoarding more clothes, though, that I've actually really loved that maybe just don't fit anymore. Because recently, my mum just cleared out her wardrobe and I've now got so many of her old clothes that have like come back into fashion and they might not fit her anymore, but they do fit me. So that's brilliant.
Yeah, I guess because for me, that was a very important thing. And I'm not sure sort of how it's changed in the next generation. But every item of clothing that I had as a kid or was... I would give, like, all of the younger kids on my street have now pretty much exclusively wear the clothes that I had when I was younger, and I would sort of religiously pass them down and make sort of regular trips around just seeing who wanted what. And I don't know if that's the sort of the same thing now that clothes probably are a lot cheaper and they're a lot more accessible. Are parents just buying their kids more of their own things?
As the youngest child, I got everyone's old clothes. I hardly got any new clothes when I was younger. Because I'd get like my sister's and then she'd have got them from my mum's friend's daughter. So I had like third generation clothes, which was fine. Because then I'd just be like, I'd be looking at the stuff that my sister was buying and be like, right, when she grows out of that, that's going to be mine. And like keep my eye on it. But yeah, I definitely ended up with more clothes from other people than I think I got for myself.
One thing you can do with tatty clothes is give them to charity shops they've taken for rags. Do you know that?
I think it is a particular, some people are cottoning onto this as an industry idea. I know one friend of mine has just set up a business where they sort of have direct contact to these sort of large warehouses of essentially charity shop rejects or just where all of these clothes are donated to in mass. In Radford here in, I am just near the University Park, there is a place that will buy a bag of clothes, £5 for a kilogram. Like, doesn't matter what clothes are, as like they'll sort through it and eventually they probably get some kind of value out of it. But in this particular friend's case, they buy these things en masse, essentially by the shipping container, and then upcycle them, also go through, like, do stitch them, alter them, and make them wearable again, and then sell them for sort of crazy profits on Depop or on other such thing. So again, like increasing the value, obviously they put the time into it. But I think that sort of level of recycling where you're recreating fashion at a more sort of like bespoke level, it's still not as accessible as fast fashion, but it's at least recycling and reusing.
I mean, I've just learned that fast fashion is a big thing because it's it just seems a bit, yeah, like strange to me. I guess it focuses on a different type of market. I think it focuses on the people who have that sort of expendable income to be spending on. That's what they want to spend their income on. For me, I tend to be a lot more budget smart. I really take into consideration what I'm spending on everything. So going in and buying a shirt that I'm going to wear for a month really isn't on my priority list. But I guess for some people, if you have the expendable income, it makes sense if you want to stay trendy. I guess if that's what's being peddled, then I guess it makes sense. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with it in terms of an environmental stance, but again, at the end of the day, I can't really stop anyone.
Another thing to consider is that I think a lot of people turn to fast fashion when there might be an event going on. So it's Halloween at the moment. How many people wearing their costumes have nipped down to Primark or gone on online to quickly buy an item that they need to make their outfit complete? I think we'll all probably end up doing that at some point at Halloween or the next fancy dress party we go to.
It's more balls, I find. Things that we have at university, like, you know, dinners, events, you feel like you should really be wearing something new every single time. And that's more so for women than guys, I would say. And I think that's where the problem comes in for us, is that you end up spending a fortune on a dress that
You end up with so many, by the time you graduate, when are you going to be wearing them?
I think it's so true. But then again, it's sort of trying to instill that culture where people are encouraged to share or hand down clothes that they don't use. I mean, so if you think about how society has changed around this, talking about formal events or things when you might have to wear something formal, it would be the case that, you know, you'd have a, if you weren't that well off, you would have a suit, and then that suit would also get passed down through your family as sort of, as you grew into it. That's obviously not going to happen now because, you know, I've looked at my dad's suits, maybe a couple I might fit, and they wouldn't be what I would want to wear these things. I've bought a suit myself and I wear that to literally everything, so it's all right for me. Like, it's, but it's still a progression towards fast fashion rather than going to that old mindset of we should share things.
I think that's the problem though with girls in particular. So now I don't get any clothes passed down to me, A, because my sister isn't growing out of anything, but also we're completely different shapes and sizes now. And I think you get to a certain age where passing clothes down between generations or between siblings, it becomes a lot more difficult because not one size is going to fit all.
And finally, do you think influencers are a big issue here with regards to this topic? Because obviously influencers are bringing out their own brands, they're trying to push people to wear what they wear, and they make a lot of money off doing this, but unfortunately this is what's inspiring people to be spending a fortune every couple of months on something new.
I think influencers are possibly the biggest reason why it happens. It's the whole trend basically thrives off the back of the idea that everyone should stay up to date with what's going on and who are the people who are the front, you know, the literally the face of what's hip and trendy right now. Influencers, it's what most people are seeing, and it's probably where most of their brand deals come from. It'll be these companies saying, hey, we've got these things that we want you to sell in the next month, you know, here's your promo link, you know, we'll say you 20% commission on it, whatever, just sell them. And so that we'll do is like, oh, this is a great summer wear, people wear them, and then, you know, they'll get another brand deal 2 weeks down the line for another thing, and people go, no, I want that instead, so stop wearing whatever it is. And I think I think influencers are probably the backbone of this whole fad, personally.
The deals that influencers have with companies such as Boohoo or ASOS probably influence people to buy clothes from those websites, especially after programs such as Love Island have been broadcasted. Immediately, all those contestants have deals with Misguided, Boohoo, and I think then there's a big drive to try and get a lot of the fashion items they've been wearing on the show or that they then wear after the show and display on their social media.
I can't really contest influencers in general, but I think it's still obviously these are people who are then I see it more as like big business taking these people and using them as a tool for promotion, and really they're doing things in the way that they've done fast fashion for years, which is, you know, like quickly create the style, quickly make sure that people are interested in it, and then quickly produce it, often in, you know, you can talk all day about sweatshops as well and about how terrible they are, and they're being able to fuel this. So I think what I would like to see is make sure that there is more regulation on companies to limit the amount of production they can make, limit where they can make their clothes, sort of, you know, make sure that they're abiding by human rights laws as well. And then obviously that's going to affect their business in terms of how much they need to charge for things, which will then in turn affect people's attitudes for clothes. If clothes in general are more expensive, then people are going to go back to that much more effective kind of like reuse idea of clothes.
Do you not think though that influencers have some responsibility to check who they're working for and to make sure that they aren't supporting a company that's producing clothing in a way that's not very fair?
Yes, but let's be realistic. They've literally just come off Love Island, say, for example, and their one concern is to get money. Mm. Realistically, their one concern is to get money.
But I'm saying, should it not be their responsibility?
Oh, yeah, it should be.
It should also be your responsibility. It should also be your responsibility to check where your clothes are coming in the first place, whether you're buying it for an influencer or not.
So talking about fast fashion and stuff, there's actually a really good app that you can use to check where your clothes are coming from. It's called Good On You Ethical Fashion. And basically you type in the name of the shop where you're buying the clothes from or website, and it gives you a whole list of information, such as how environmentally friendly it is, how it's produced, where it comes from, etc., etc. It's really useful when you're looking at like backgrounds where your clothes are coming from.
The industry is damaging to the environment, is damaging to people, and it is, I mean, in my eyes, it's nice, but ultimately unnecessary when you consider the environmental effects of it.
We're now going to have our second song, a lesser known song by Miley Cyrus called Wake Up America.
Oh, can you take care of her? Oh, maybe you can spare her several moments of your consideration leading up to the final destination. Oh, the earth is calling out. I wanna learn what it's all about, but everything I read's global warming going green. I don't know what all this means, but it seems to be attention. Can you give her just a little attention? Oh, it's easy to look away, but it's getting harder day by day. Everything I read's global warming going green. I don't know what all this means, but it seems to be
listening. Next week we'll be focusing on the student strikes and Greta Thunberg, one of the biggest people in the movement at the moment. If you would like to have your say, tweet us at URN1350 and use the hashtag 12 years to have your say, either on Greta, on reduce, reuse, recycle, or on the student strikes. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week. I'm Sarah Bertram and this has been 12 years.